Keep in touch with the Wolf Connection podcast on our Instagram handle at the Wolf Connection Pod, or email us your questions, comments, and guest ideas to podcast@wolfconnection.org. Thank you for your support, and howls to you all. Welcome to the Wolf Connection podcast. I'm your host, John Calvin. This is going to be one of a couple of podcasts that we're going to be having this week, recording and releasing, definitely detailing about this Wyoming wolf incident. I'm sure many of you have seen social media posts and things that have happened about this wolf that was ultimately killed by an individual in Wyoming on his own accord. But what is great about this guest that we have today is they were the ones to break the story down in Wyoming, or up in Wyoming, sorry, California. I got to get my directions straight. She's been the executive director of KHOL since 2019. She's Emily Cohen. Emily, it's great to have you here. Again, wish we were meeting under better circumstances, but thank you for joining me and giving us some background on this story. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me today.
No, thank you for the quick response. And just like I said, to get some real background on this story. So your outlet, you guys broke this on March 29th and really just set the scene for, obviously, as we discussed prior to us getting recording and doing all these things, that many other outlets have run with this. And hopefully you're doing their due diligence about getting the right information out there, which is why it's good to have you on. So just give everybody a background about this story, how you guys learned about this, and what the process was to ultimately release this to your listeners, your readers, everybody that listens to or looks at KHOL.
Yeah, so I learned about this about 10 days before it broke, so in late March. And immediately when I found out about it, it was just somebody that I know, kind of an acquaintance, who mentioned that she had heard this story at an event the week before, and lives in that area, but did not see what had actually happened. So she told me about this, I guess it was on March 21st. And immediately after that conversation, I sent in an information request to Wyoming Game and Fish to get more information on what had happened. And it took a little while I got some basic information immediately, just confirmation that yes, there was a man, someone cited for illegally possessing a live wolf. And so this happened in the predator zone, which in Wyoming makes up 85% of the state, where it is legal to kill a wolf, a predator. There's a few places in the state where this is not legal. That's mostly in, you know, the national parks, Yellowstone, Grand Teton National Park, the National Elk Refuge, and then on the Wind River Reservation. And so those areas have different regulations. And then there's also a game trophy game hunting area where you can actually get a wolf tag. So this happened in an area where it is, quote unquote, legal to kill a wolf. But what had happened here was the capture of the wolf. And so Game and Fish confirmed that. And that was on a Friday. I got confirmation that this happened. The next day, on a Saturday, I went down actually to Daniel, Wyoming to investigate a little bit more. I went to the bar. I talked to some folks. Nobody who I spoke with, first I was just trying to suss out the situation, but nobody who I had spoke with had actually seen the situation or seen the wolf themselves. So I didn't get any eyewitnesses. But I did get, you know, a sense of the bar and of the area, which for me was just helpful because I don't know that area. It's about an hour south of Jackson. And then I had a little bit more follow-up with Game and Fish, and we had a planned interview scheduled, which they then canceled. And I haven't really heard anything since then. They said just submit further requests in writing, and I've gotten no response to that or a formal Freedom of Information Act request. So a lot of the reporting that is happening right now is, you know, other developments in the case. We only know so much about how this actually happened and the specific details of this situation.
So when you're looking to gain more information and doing your due diligence, obviously, and you're going down there, what is it like to essentially, it seems as though Wyoming Game and Fish has done this a couple of times where there's been a story that's broken and the request, I guess, for more information to, again, do your due diligence as a journalist to have the correct factual basis here covered. It seems as though there's either a delay or there's just a cancellation of any of that. Have you run into that before? Have there been other issues with Wyoming Game and Fish with instances related to wildlife in, you know, in and around the state? Is that something that you're privy to or not really?
I haven't, but I'm not often in a reporting capacity. So sometimes I report stories, but it's not always something that I do. I think Mike Cosmeral or other reporters in the state might have more insight on that. I do know that with regards to any animals killed in the predator zone, that the Wyoming Game and Fish is not allowed to talk. There's actually a state law prohibiting that. So, you know, and other issues that we've reported here at the station, like elk feeding, and which is also controversial. We have gotten comment from Game and Fish, but I think anytime there's these like charismatic megafauna, there's going to be strong feelings of how they're managed. And especially in a statewide, we're in like Wyoming, where there's sometimes differing state regulations that then might exist in other neighboring states or might differ from federal policy.
Yeah. When you look at this and how this has played out, and obviously now there have been photos that have been picked up about this. I know you did. I believe you did. Did you co-author or a co, I guess it's co-write. Correct me.
Co-report
with Mike, because we had Mike Koshmer on as well. And he does a great job at Wildfile. Shout out to Mike. And I emailed him actually about this before, and he sent me back some information. So did you get a sense, were you just coordinating with Mike on his piece, or did you guys actually meet up, talk about this, and did you help him with some of his story? How did that go down too? Because I know Wildfile can go a little bit more in depth as opposed to maybe what you guys had at the time.
Yeah. You know, it's not really our region. I mean, it's
right. I know it's south.
It's not our coverage area, but it seemed like it was important to put out there, and we wanted to be first on this. So actually, when I heard about this, I reached out to Mike immediately because I wanted to get his sense on whether this was indeed as outrageous as I thought, and kind of how best to proceed with this reporting. Just because I had a feeling that it would be so sensitive. So, and I didn't want people to close or shut down and not talk. And then we wouldn't really have a story, which I kind of feel like is what has happened. So I guess the short of it is I published this piece and then Mike reached out after he heard it on Wyoming Public Radio. And we shared, I shared some of the information that I had and some of the reporting that I had done. And then he had done some additional interviews. And that's probably the piece you're referencing in Wildfile.
Yeah, I looked at Wildfile and saw that, you know, you were alongside there. And for you, what was the, and again, this is something obviously you say that's a little bit out of your jurisdiction a little bit, because like you said, it's an hour south. But what was there a journalistic instinct for you, because for you to drive outside of your jurisdiction, I guess, to go check this out, there had to be something that was resonating with you that something was not right here in what was happening. And now that we've seen, like I said, there's plenty of coverage that's covering this, you know, whether it's animal advocacy groups, some that we've had on this podcast, Wyoming Untrapped, who we haven't had on, but Wyoming Wildlife Advocates, Wolves of the Rockies, they are taking steps to really bring this to the forefront and get some change happening. So for you, what as a journalist, and you say you don't do a lot of reporting as you're the ED, but what was it for you that made it, that you had to go and check this out to make sure that this was actually a story and that there was a there?
I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, that's a good question. I guess, you know, it's funny. I'm listening to this this Elizabeth Gilbert podcast, right? Or not podcast, but book on tape right now, Big Magic. And it's all about like the creative process. And I can't exactly say this is a total parallel, but I think there's some connection there. It's like when you get an idea and you're like, whoa, that's something you can't quite get it out of your head. And I just felt like, man, this is crazy. Like, is this for real? And the week before I had been down in that area, just kind of poking around and like looking at real estate, you know, like, could I ever afford to live and buy a place in Wyoming kind of thing. And but I was just north of there. And so I was like, well, I missed this. And I'm curious. I wanted to get a sense for this. And it seemed so outrageous. Originally, I thought I would pitch it to a bigger outlet and that it wouldn't even be a K-12 story. But we have a relationship with Wyoming Public Media. And so we knew that if we posted it, they'd pick it up. And then, you know, from there, it would spread. And I'm happy that Wildfowl is on the case and that they are, they're probably much better suited to continue reporting on this. But I've, you know, interviewed, Wyoming on Trap before. And I've, you know, interviewed a woman named Philippa Forrester who wrote a book a couple of years ago called On the Trail of Wolves. It's a really beautiful book about her experience, here in Wyoming and trying to understand the dynamic between wolves and humans and the tension there. It's sometimes the tension and sometimes the admiration. And so it was a topic that I was somewhat familiar with, and thought that there was just an interesting and very particular and curious situation here. And I'm frankly a little surprised at how much it's blown up. I can see why it has, but it is a little surprising.
I mean, when you think about it and you look at, again, what's coming out now and obviously with other outlets picking it up, I mean, you guys really started that ripple effect, which I think many of us really can't thank you enough for doing. And it's really just the journalistic angle of it, of getting the bones of the story out there so that, like you said, I mean, again, if Wildfowl is better suited to take it over and that makes sense, or those that are into the investigative reporting aspect, it's always good to have those that maybe have the resources or are able to really focus on this and bring it more light to the forefront. It's interesting you say you don't know, you didn't think or weren't sure why this blew up as it did. And it seems as though it just in reading all of the posting and the things that I've seen, yeah, I don't know if you feel this way. And again, I'm not speaking for you, and I want to make sure you get your voice in here. Do you see this as something that could feasibly be a tipping point in Wyoming about the way that wildlife, I think, in general is managed? Because it does seem like, and again, if you don't know, that's perfectly fine. I just want to throw it to you as a journalist, in that a story like this really could gain attention for the practices, for the things that are normal and everyday in Wyoming in the predator zone and the way that things are done. But for things like this to be, I think, put in front of people's faces now that there are photos that are out there, now that there is a little bit more reporting. And again, like you say, hopefully the journalistic integrity of these places that are reporting this are doing their due diligence and not sensationalizing, although the story in and of itself is fairly sensational. In the short, what I'm trying to get to, do you believe that this could lead to larger change in Wyoming? Do you think it's a drop on the bucket? I know you're in Jackson Hole, so it's a little bit different, but what's your gut feeling as you see this thing sort of spread a little bit again, not only nationally to a degree, but I think it's gone international as well?
Man, I don't know, I guess is the... is the answer, because our state legislature is very polarized. And we just finished a budget session a few weeks ago, and we're not going to be in session until next late January, February. So unless, you know, this really, unless the heat stays on this issue, I just really don't know, because I haven't heard necessarily any chatter among elected officials about their intent to change statute. So I think people, I think it's striking how much outrage there is across the state and across, let's say, the political spectrum here. It's not just people in Jackson who are disturbed by what happened, but I think people are outraged across the state, although I think there's definitely a lot of mixed reactions, to be honest. So I think it'll be interesting to see what comes of this, but I really could not predict.
What's the feedback that the station, what is the feedback that you've gotten mostly from the people that listen, the people that read, the people that follow your station? What's been the feedback that you've been getting lately?
Mostly positive. I've gotten a few messages like, you know, that weren't so kind. Basically like, stay out of this and what do you know? And I think I was bracing for that when the story broke. And got a little bit over the first weekend after the story ran. But since then, I think most people are not even aware that actually K2L was involved and that we covered it. I think we got a huge, the story spread immediately the first weekend after it was published. And then I think since then, most people are mostly referencing Cowboy State Daily's coverage of this.
So just a couple of things. So, because I know you have a lot of things to do as the ED and all that. But I appreciate you just jumping on for just a few minutes to clarify and give everybody the background, because that's really what we want, is the background, the information, and so that people are able to look at this in a way that, again, try not to be as sensational as possible, but really get to the roots of what actually is going on and what is actually happening. And this might be a bigger issue, obviously, as we know, as we've spoken about and on this podcast, on a couple different states like this. If you were to give any guidance to the public, if they're looking for more information, who to contact about this story, if they see this story and they want to make their voice heard, do you have any avenues you can guide them to, any places where they can, again, write in things of that sort so that they can find out what's going on, or if their intent is to keep the pressure on and they want to know more about this, what's their way that they can do that?
For people who care about this, the groups behind some of the recent letters that have been sent to the Sublette County officials are good to reach out to. So Wyoming Untrapped, Wyoming Wildlife Advocates. I think there were a couple other signatures on that letter. Wolves of the Rockies, or I'm not actually sure. And there's Animal Wellness Action based out of D.C. So there's some national groups that have been following this pretty closely. I know Wildfile, Mike Koshmaral, is going to be following this and doing more reporting. And you know, we are as well, up to a point, though. And so I think those are the best outlets. Cowboy State Daily is reporting this as well, and I'm not necessarily sure how they're going about that and who their sources are. So, but I would definitely recommend staying tuned to Wildfile.
And what you said, I didn't realize you were going to keep doing reporting. What's the extent? Are you going to keep updating the story that you guys originally ran? Are you going to run another piece or two? What's your plan as the ED, or you don't know yet? Just going to see how things play out?
I think it really just depends how things play out. Like, we haven't heard back from Game and Fish, and as the first outlet that sent in any information request, or I believe we were the first outlet, I hope we're also the first outlet that gets word back from them and gets those records. So I think the story is very much still unfolding. And so I think it just remains to be seen how we reported, and I'll be very interested to see how other outlets reported as well.
No, Emily, it's great. I think your measured approach is great. I love that you all were the first ones to get this out there. And you know, I think whether intentionally or not, you knew this was going to grow to what it is just a few weeks later. It's good that the ripple was started with a local place. And again, the fact that Mike Koshmaral and Wildfile are on it is a huge deal. And he's an exceptional investigative reporter, and he does a great job. But again, thank you for again, just following the instinct and doing the journalistic, being journalistic in integrity and really giving, again, I think the foundation for what everybody is looking at right now. And again, just the way that you guys handle yourselves throughout this thing and you've handled yourself, you're very well measured. So thank you for just sharing a couple of thoughts and again, giving people just the backdrop for what they're looking at with a story like this. And what's the, if they want to read your initial story, what's the best place to go? What's the website or the Instagram? Where can they find stuff about KHOL as well?
Yeah, our website is 891khol.org, or you could type in jhcr.org, but 891khol.org.
And I think that's the same, that's your Instagram as well, right? The Instagram handle is?
Yes.
891, mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. Emily Cohen, again, thank you for a few minutes on a busy Monday, I'm sure, for you. And thank you for the work that you did just breaking this story initially. So really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
Of course. Alice to you all out there, and there'll be more on this story later on.
Looking for more information about Wolf Connection or the podcast? Please visit our website at wolfconnection.org, where you can donate, sponsor a wolf, or become a volunteer.